Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Thanks so much for being with us again this week as we inch closer to free agency, something of a Christmas morning type situation for Bears fans, I think, with their team just absolutely loaded with cap space. But my co-host here, Bob Laguerre, Bears fans also have to hope they don't find coal in their stockings like some of Ryan Pace's other signings over recent years.
Yeah, they've, unfortunately for the Bears, Pace has swung and missed more often than not in free agency. They've gotten rid of some of those guys already this year, but they still got Marcus Cooper and Marcus Wheaton who could be on the chopping block very soon, especially based on what they contributed last year, which was next to nothing.
Yeah, we got Marcus with a K, Marcus Wheaton, Marcus with a C, Marcus Cooper, and as you mentioned, it was pretty much a zero in terms of what they got out of those two free agents. He is Bob Laguerre. I am Arthur Arkish. We got a special Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast today. I'm checking in with a pair of veteran Bears beat writers. Laguerre is leading off from his home in Elmhurst. We're doing this all via Skype, and after we chat with Bob, we'll check in with Hub Arkish from his house as well. But with Bob Laguerre, I thought we would discuss kind of free agency on the horizon and the wide receiver position in particular, Bob. I think that's probably the position I think fans are most anxious to see addressed. Yes, they know they need pass rush, but I don't think you're seeing the type of potentially attainable options out there on the veteran free agent market on the edges as you are at wide receiver.
Yeah, it's very rare that an elite edge rusher makes it to free agency. That's going to be the case again this year. But there are a couple of wide receivers out there who could make the Bears better from day one, specifically Sammy Watkins and especially Allen Robinson, who, despite the injury from last year, I think is clearly the top option out there and the guy the Bears need more than anybody else. He had the torn ACL, but it was in the season opener, so speculation is that he's going to be pretty close to full go by the start of training camp.
All right, so you hit on two guys there, and it's kind of interesting, guys. It's not a great free agent pool this year. I think most would agree with that. And at the same time, you do have a potential pair of number ones out there, maybe a third that's available, and we'll get to the guy in Miami here in a minute. But let's stick with Watkins versus Robinson. I think Bob just told me where he's at on it. So why don't you expound on why Allen Robinson, in your estimation, is the, I don't remember how you just put it, is either the top option or kind of the most attractive one available?
Yeah, I think he's clearly the top option. He's, I guess it was 2 years ago, caught 80 balls for 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns. When you're putting up that kind of production in the Jags offense with Blake Bortles at quarterback, that's a guy who could come in and be an immediate difference maker. You know, what the Bears need, they have a bunch of threes and fours. What they need is a number one, a go-to guy, and Allen Robinson's that guy, even if, you know, he may be not completely 100%, but he's going to be pretty close to it when they start training camp. No reason to think he can't be exactly what he was a year ago or 2 years ago on opening day this year.
All right, so Allen Robinson and Sammy Watkins, if we just want to do kind of the tail of the tape, they're very comparable size-wise, both about 6'2". Robinson's a little bit bigger, maybe half an inch taller and about 10 pounds heavier, but very comparable. Arm length, hand size, all just about the same. Watkins, I think, maybe a little bit more explosive, but there's more of an injury history with him. He's had multiple foot surgeries in the past. Ironically, he finally got through maybe his healthiest season in his first one with the Rams. But didn't put up huge kind of alpha number one numbers. He led the team in touchdowns, had about 15 yards per catch, but some would argue maybe was used as a bit of a decoy at times in Sean McVay's offense there. So what do you think about Watkins in terms of kind of a 1B option for the Bears? And of course, we're assuming here for a moment that with both of these receivers so close to free agency that there won't be any 11th hour re-signings with their current teams, Bob.
Sure. Watkins, I think it was 3 years ago, we had his breakout season, went over 1,000 or close to 1,000. Unfortunately, the past two seasons have basically equaled that big year that he had. And as you said, he wasn't an integral part of the Rams offense, but he is a guy I think you hit on as well, who's a little bit more of a deep threat, which the Bears would have if Kevin White's healthy. We know we can't count on that. So I think Watkins gives you a little bit more of a deep threat. Allen Robinson, more of a physical guy, a guy you can work the middle of the field with, and who's going to get some yards after the catch, is a better runner, I think, after he has the ball in his hands, as far as breaking tackles and things of that nature. But, you know, as we've said many times, Sammy Watkins or Allen Robinson, an immediate upgrade for a Bear offense that definitely needs more weapons. You know, a lot of us seen the pictures of Kevin White on Instagram, and the guy looks absolutely jacked. If it was a bodybuilding contest, he'd be a Pro Bowler. But we need to see him healthy for at least, maybe 10 or 12 games at least, which would double his current output to this point.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's Bob Legare. I'm Arthur Arkish. And I did see that Instagram photo, too. I did a double take because Kevin White looks tremendous. But obviously, his look off the field has never been the problem. It has, of course, been that health. So what about behind door number three, Bob? Our good pal on the Bears beat, John Moon Mullen, I believe, was first with this story last week from the Combine that the Bears and Dolphins had discussed a possible trade that would send Jordan Howard and the 8th overall pick to Miami for, I believe it was the 11th pick, and Jarvis Landry, and there may have been additional draft pick compensation in there as well. Tell us kind of what you know about that report and kind of what you think about that if it were to come to fruition.
Yeah, I don't know. That may be wishful thinking on some people's part, but it is an interesting talking point because especially for the Bears, I think it's a trade if it's available to the Bears for what the terms that we've seen are. They take it in a second, provided they're convinced that Jarvis Landry's off-the-field stuff is okay. It's something you can live with. Now, you have to ask yourself, is it him just being a competitor and maybe flipping out once in a while, or is this a guy who's established a pattern of bad behavior and is not a good guy in your locker room?
Right.
The production is there. He's got more catches in the first 4 years of a career than anybody in the history of the game. Led the NFL with 112 catches last year, I believe. The concerning thing to me is that last year, despite all those catches, averaged just 8.8 yards per catch, which is not tremendous, but he did have 9 touchdowns. So if you're looking to get a number one guy, a go-to guy, he's that immediately. If you think he fits in your locker room and he's a guy that's going to buy into the system and not be a distraction, then that's a trade you make in a second. Nothing against Jordan Howard, but I think if recent history has told us anything, it's that a running back is the easiest thing to replace in football, unless you're talking about maybe a Zeke Elliott or a Todd Gurley or somebody like that. So, yeah, I think it's much easier to find a go-to, a bell cow running back, than it is to find the number one wide receiver.
All right, yeah, I wouldn't argue with anything that Bob just said, but I do have a bit of a contrarian view of this. I don't know. Jarvis Landry would immediately be the go-to guy, as Bob said, the second that he walked in the building. But he would be an atypical number one because I don't think he can play outside due to the speed deficiency. You mentioned, I think, 10.1 yard career catch average. So that doesn't scream number one to me. And I don't know. I realize that running backs are, imminently replaceable, and especially in this year's draft class, which is considered special by all accounts. But Jordan Howard right now is one of the better values in the NFL with, a number two rushing output as a rookie and fell off a little bit last year, but did it against crowded boxes nonstop and still went over 1,000 yards. Only Bears back to do that other than Walter Payton, I believe, in his first two seasons. So I guess the thought of trading this great value, even if he is at the running back position, Bob, and then acquiring Jarvis Landry, you move down 3 spots, and then you know that you have to immediately pay Jarvis Landry a contract that's probably worth upwards of, I'm guessing, $14 million per year and at least a couple years of that guaranteed, probably 30 to 35 guaranteed. It's not my checkbook. Obviously, it's the McCaskies, but that just sounds like a very rich proposition to get into for what you're getting in Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, the Bears have a ton of cap space. The question is, do they want to use a good chunk of it on this one move because, yeah, you're right. Nobody has a more team-friendly contract than Jordan Howard. It's a fifth-round pick. You know, he's playing for next to nothing. And Jarvis Landry, yeah, franchise tag, I think, for the wide receivers, somewhere around $15 or $16 million.
Yep.
If he gets a long-term deal, it's going to be pretty close to that on a yearly basis with a good chunk of that guaranteed. So, again, that's why I say you have to vet this guy, check him out, make sure he's going to fit in the locker room and off the field and not be a problem there, because the Bears have had guys like that in the past. But if all that checks out, I think if you're going to spend your salary cap money, that's a good area to spend it in.
Ryan Pace obviously has done a lot of work weeding out those character guys from his locker room over the past 3 years, and we don't know for sure. There were some on-field immaturity issues with Jarvis Landry in the second half of last season. The good news is he was at one time accused, I believe, by a girlfriend or ex-girlfriend of domestic violence, but there were never charges filed, and the case wasn't pursued. So I think he's in the clear on that front. But again, obviously the Bears would have to do their due diligence on all levels if they were going to be the next team to make a blockbuster trade in the NFL. And boy, we've seen enough of them over the past couple weeks. So I don't know, though. I like the idea of, if you want to fill the slot position, I like the idea of shopping at the bargain bin, and you go out and you get Albert Wilson, who was at the Chiefs GM last week, Bob, at the combine. Brett Veach basically said that they'd kind of given up hope on re-signing Albert Wilson because Matt Nagy's in Chicago now.
Yeah, if you know what, it's as it has for the last 3 years since Kevin White was drafted. A lot depends on if he's healthy, if he can play, and the other question this year is Cam Meredith, another guy who was hurt in the preseason, so certainly should be very close to 100% when he shows up at training camp. And Cam Meredith, I think, is a tremendous success story, undrafted free agent out of Illinois State. And the guy had 888 yards, I believe, in 2016 before he was injured last year. And I think Cam Meredith, as well as he's played, is a solid number two guy. I don't know that he's your number one. So he would be a great complement to somebody who you brought in as a, you know, an Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry type guy.
He's Bob Legere. I'm Arthur Arkett. Just a couple minutes left on this portion of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Make sure you check it out on iTunes. Subscribe while you're there. Leave us a rating and a review. All right, so we've hit on the wide receiver position. It's at the top of, I think, fans' wish lists. But, Bob, is there one or two other free agents or even just positions for the Bears where you expect their attention to be directed toward as we get ready to kick things off here in the next legal tampering, I guess that silly term begins here in the next 3 or 4 days.
Right. You know what? At cornerback, I think the interesting situation for the Bears is they've got Prince Amukamara, who's a free agent, and then they've got several other guys in free agency who may or may not be an upgrade over him. I think there's a couple guys out there that might be. But once you get past the top two or three guys, it's kind of a bunch of guys who are very similar in talent and career production to Prince Mukamara. Now, and you know what you have in him. So it's a question of, do you want to pay him or do you want to pay somebody you don't know as well? I don't think Prince is necessarily a shutdown corner by any means, and we all know he doesn't make plays on the ball. I think he's got one interception in the last 3 years, but he is a decent cover guy, has decent size, had a pretty good year last year, but as a guy who's kicked around the league for the last 3 or 4 years now, if he's interested in staying and I'm the Bears, I re-sign him at least for another year and see how it goes. You know, we're assuming Kyle Fuller will be back, but we know that in this NFL, you have to have at least three good cornerbacks. I think Bryce Callahan is a solid number three, a slot guy. He's restricted, and we expect him to be back. But if Prince Amukamara gets away, then the Bears are going to be in the market looking for a guy, a similar type guy, a guy with similar skills, and they're probably going to have to pay him a lot more money than they would have to pay Amukamara on a one-year deal.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And yes, we realize, guys, that the Bears did put the transition tag on Kyle Fuller. The only reason we haven't mentioned it in this segment is because I'm going to get Hub on here momentarily. We're going to talk extensively about Kyle Fuller and continue going into the cornerback position. But yeah, I think offensive line is another one to keep an eye out for. Obviously, pass rush department. It just seems that there's not going to be a lot of options out here. Hey, Bob, I guess I'll leave you with this. Muhammad Wilkerson, recently cut by the Jets, after kind of busting out in Albert Haynesworth-esque fashion on that huge deal he signed 2 years ago, took his first free agent visit just north of here to Green Bay. If he gets away from Title Town without a contract, do you expect Ryan Pace to kick the tires on Muhammad Wilkerson, and do you think that that's a way to potentially sort of supplement some of your concerns on the edges after losing Willie Young and Pernell McPhee and not having much outside of Leonard Floyd?
Yeah, I'd be real skeptical on Muhammad Wilkerson on anything but an incentive-laden contract, because you're talking about a guy who signed for big bucks, a huge contract, and almost immediately began to mail it in. It was a huge disappointment. Yeah. So that's not a guy you can commit a lot of guaranteed money to. If you can sign him for a year and give him something based on incentives, play time, tackle, sacks, whatever, I think it's worthwhile. I mean, you throw him in, and the guy can still play. There's no doubt about that. Nobody will tell you he can't. And if you throw him in with Eddie Goldman and Akeem Hicks, you got a pretty good front three there for the Bears. So he would be great. He would fill that role because Mitch Unrein, unrestricted, could be back with the Bears, but he's more of a rotational type of guy. I think Wilkerson, when he's motivated, gives you a much, much above-average player on that D-line.
Yeah, spot-on analysis from Laguerre there. We agree wholeheartedly. It sounds like the best-case scenario, Bears fans, is that either Muhammad Wilkerson gets away from Green Bay without a deal and the Bears can lure him in on a short-term incentive-laden deal, or he gets away from both towns, because I don't think the Bears want to see Muhammad Wilkerson end up in Green Bay with his old defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine. So we'll be keeping close tabs on that and everything else as news continues to break for the Bears and across the NFL. I'm thinking we'll do a couple Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcasts, kind of short, quick-hitting, instant reaction pieces when these big signings and or trades occur in the coming days. But for now, I'm going to let Bob Laguerre go. We're going to bring on Hub Arkish here shortly. And Bob, thanks so much for taking time. We'll look forward to getting you going again on the podcast here next week.
Okay, great talking to you, Arthur.
If you're looking for a website to keep you up to date on all the latest news, scoops, and rumors from around the NFL, look no further than ProFootballWeekly.com. It's the place for all the best news around the league. You'll find breaking news, hard-hitting columns, video, photos, podcasts, and more. All 32 teams, 24/7, 365 days a year. While you're at it, catch up with all things NFL in our newsletter. Our NFL Daily Update will send you all of the news you need to keep up with the pace of the NFL. You'll get news, analysis, and more sent right to your inbox at noon, Monday through Friday. Sign up now to start getting NFL news during the week. Pro Football Weekly, bringing the best coverage in the NFL to its readers since 1967. Are you following us on social media? Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ProFootballWeekly. Then head over to Twitter and follow PF Weekly and never miss an NFL update. There are plenty of ways for you to enjoy Pro Football Weekly, whether in print or online. If news breaks in the NFL, don't miss a thing and keep it at ProFootballWeekly.com.
Up next on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast, it is my great pleasure to welcome in Hub Arkish. You've probably heard of him. He runs Pro Football Weekly, and yes, we are related. Hub, what's going on? Getting ready to get crazy here for the Bears and the rest of the NFL landscape, huh?
Yeah, it really is what I think is one of the most entertaining, enjoyable, fun times of the year. Free agency, of course, legal dating begins Sunday. Players can get signed middle of next week, and that will quickly be followed by a build-up to the draft. I think the draft probably on balance is a little more fun, but free agency happens quick, and you can't really set your draft board until you know what you've accomplished by bringing in veteran players. So next 6-7 weeks, there's never been a better time to live at ProFootballWeekly.com or to work there, which is what you and I get to do.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Before I Hub, I want to talk about Kyle Fuller and the transition tag. Bob Laguerre and I just chatted, and we kind of avoided that topic because I knew I wanted to discuss discuss it with you. But before I do, I just am curious if you have a strong opinion on Allen Robinson versus Sammy Watkins versus potentially Jarvis Landry, if you're willing to part with some compensation and a huge contract to make it happen.
Well, I'd rather not part with compensation. We're talking about draft capital, draft picks. You know, obviously you're going to pay them a lot of money. And so I don't think the Bears are in a position to part with any compensation. I think that the Bears should be adding draft picks, if anything, or at least holding on to what they have, which plays perfectly with my opinion that of those three, the only one who really interests me all that much is Allen Robinson. You know, I'm a huge Jarvis Landry fan. He's a young man I've actually gotten to spend a little bit of time with through my Westwood One work. I like the kid. You know, some of what you hear about locker room issues and off the field, I don't get it because he's very impressive. He's very well-spoken. He's highly productive, holds the NFL record for most receptions first 4 years in the league, first year in the league, first 3 years. His record for the first 2 years was, I guess, tied this year, not broken. But bottom line is he catches a lot of passes. The problem is that that career average is right around 10, between 10 and 11 yards. That's not a number one receiver. You know, I look at Sammy Watkins, and as exciting as he is as a prospect, he can't be a prospect 4 years later, and that's what he is. He's never played up to the number one billing. Allen Robinson has. Now, I know he's coming off an ACL, and you've got to be careful with your medicals. The Bears got burned on this one time before with Grinnell McPhee. But to me, he's the only one who fits the need, you know? And so if they're going to spend big, if they can get a clean medical, to me, Allen Robinson is the clear choice.
Allen Robinson, of course, the former second rounder in Jacksonville, has a 1,400-yard season, the second team all-pro campaign under his belt. What makes Robinson and Watkins unique, Hub? They're both still just approaching their age 25 season in year five. So they both entered the NFL young, and that's one of the most exciting aspects of both of these guys likely being available in a couple days. I'm with you for the most part. I think Sammy Watkins has a higher ceiling personally, but I think if you're looking for a potential value, it's more likely to come in the form of Allen Robinson just because of the ACL, because he had the down year after that breakout 2015. I think Watkins, again, maybe he's a little bit more explosive player. He's also got more baggage medical-wise with the two foot surgeries in his past and has just never quite met expectations. He does have a 1,000-yard season, but he hasn't been quite dominant like Robinson was. I believe it was 2015. So those are my thoughts on the wide receivers. Hub, Kyle Fuller gets the transition tag. We broke it at Pro Football Weekly last week that he always wanted to stay in Chicago, that the two sides had a mutual understanding that they wanted to get something done, but that Fuller kind of needed to test his market. He's only 26, a former first rounder, first opportunity to get a chance to do this. My question to you, I don't know if you've seen it. You don't spend as much time on Twitter as I do, but immediately after Ryan Pace uses the transition tag on Fuller, we don't see it very often. Olivier Vernon, the last guy to get it, I think 3 years ago. The revisionist historians come out of the woodwork. I saw someone from Pro Football Talk. I saw someone, who else did I see? I think someone from NFL.com, excuse me, I'll have to go back and check, but saying that Ryan Pace stepped in it, that this is a huge misstep. It was actually NFL.com and Pro Football Talk. Did they miss the fact that Kyle Fuller missed an entire season with arthroscopic knee surgery and had fallen out of favor with the coaching staff? They said that Ryan Pace screwed up by not picking up his fifth-year option. I think that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, I want to comment strongly on that. I just want to real quickly just go back to the wide receiver thing and point out you make a critical point here with the Watkins thing, which is that he actually has, to me, more medical questions than Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson had the one catastrophic injury, the ACL, but other than that, available, productive, and healthy. Watkins has been perpetually nicked and banged up, and that's as well as some big injuries. So that's another vote to me, or another point in the Robinson category. Now, getting to what you're talking about, as you know, I try and be very careful about talking about what other people do. I prefer to focus on what Pro Football Weekly does because it doesn't end well usually when you start, adding negative comments to other people's coverage. But that's just dumb. had Ryan Pace exercised the fifth-year option on Kyle Fuller, people would have called him an idiot based on what he did.
It's guaranteed for injury only, and he's coming off a lost season because of the knee procedure. Go ahead, Hub.
Yeah, I mean, based on where they were at the time and what he had given them the first 3 years, it would have been crazy to exercise that option. So to come back now and fault him for it, it's just dumb. There's no other way to put it. Now, forgetting that, because I don't think the people that worked at those other places are dumb, and we all make mistakes. You know, at the end of the day, the question is, what are they trying to accomplish with this transition tag? Because there are two schools of thought. The Bears may have set a price in their minds, and this is where they're willing to go. And it may be that Kyle Fuller gets an offer that they don't match. I don't think that's the case. I think they have come to the conclusion that they want Kyle Fuller, that they like Kyle Fuller, that they need Kyle Fuller. They just don't want to pay a penny more for him than they have to. Now, there is some debate as to what the gap is between what he would have cost them with the franchise tag and what he costs them here if he ends up playing 1 year at the $12.7 million or whatever it is. Some are reporting it's only about $2.2 million. Some are reporting it's $4 million. It's easy to figure out. I just didn't take the time. But the bottom line is that I don't think that's the issue. I think they want him to be able to go to the market because he wanted to go to the market. They knew that whatever offer they put on the table, his agent was telling him, we got to find out what you're worth. They weren't going to take it. So unable to get a deal done before the deadline, the transition tag at least guarantees them the right to match. I think they will match, and I think they're just trying to avoid spending a penny more than they have to. Now, even though the league tries to prohibit it, there are teams that can come up with these poison pill type contracts. Somebody could negotiate a deal, you know, that's heavily front loaded and has a big option at the end of the first year, and it ends up, you know, really making a mess out of your cap. I don't think Kyle Fuller is the kind of player that another team is going to do that with. And so I think the Bears' purpose here was to protect themselves. I think there probably is a number they won't go to. I think they expect that Kyle Fuller won't get that number. And so I think they want to let him find out what his market is and then keep him in Chicago. And I know for a fact from people close to the situation that this is absolutely where Fuller very much wants to be. He just doesn't want to take a haircut or a hometown discount to stay.
Refresh my memory. The poison pill, was that between the Seahawks and the Vikings and Steve Hutchinson?
That's where it was named, the poison pill contract. But yeah, it's been done a few times. Okay. You know, and it's all about front loading a contract and then putting a huge option in the second year, which basically makes it a 1 year deal instead of a 5 or a 6 year deal. But again, Steve Hutchinson's going in the Hall of Fame. I don't know that Kyle Fuller is there yet. So it's unlikely that something like that is going
to
happen.
And the Bears are expected to have upwards of $80 million in cap space. So however exotic a team wants to get, I think the Bears have max flexibility in terms of expenditures. Not that they want to, as you just correctly framed. I don't think they are going to mortgage the future or anything for Kyle Fuller. But they have shown that they're very interested in bringing him back and locking him up long term. And I think we're in agreement that that is the right decision and that Ryan Pace did not, though this was a good way to attack this, and we'll see what the conclusion is of it. Hub, we got about another 5 minutes here chatting on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. He's Hub Arkish. I'm Arthur Arkish. Check us out on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, review while you're there. We really appreciate it. What else interests you? It's been a crazy week, both in terms of trades and setting the stage for free agency. I asked Bob Legere on the way out of his interview about Muhammad Wilkerson, who took his first free agent visit to Green Bay. And I know you have some strong opinions on Wilkerson that actually maybe have changed in the past 12 to 24 months. Where are you at on Mo and whether the Bears should be kicking the tires on him if he does, in fact, get out of Green Bay?
You know, very quickly on the trade front, Arthur, I think what's been fascinating to me is an important reminder to NFL fans how different the trade market is in the NFL than any other sport. You just don't get what players are worth. You know, when I look at what, you know, you've got Michael Bennett costing the Eagles. When I look at what Alec Ogletree is costing the Giants, this is like shopping at TJ Maxx or Filene's Basement. I want to create as many potential sponsors as I can here. I don't know who's the best. These players are worth more than that. Now, you've got to be able to fit them in your cap. Philadelphia is a puzzle to me because they're one of two teams that is over the cap, and they're now taking on a fairly steep contract for Michael Bennett. They'll get it done. Teams always get it done. But it's going to be interesting to watch how they maneuver that. As much as fans want to make trades and they want the Bears to trade for this guy, it's not the best route to go in the NFL. Rarely do you find trades that turn out to be a huge benefit to either team. It can happen, but it's just not the most common thing. I think the trade to watch for is the Nick Foles trade, which I wrote about, I think, 3 days before the Super Bowl. Afterwards, everybody tried to say, no, Eagles are going to keep both of them. I wrote again, I don't think they can or will, and I don't think they can or will, and I do think there'll be a deal, and I think they're going to get a lot for him. Whether they get as much as they got for Sam Bradford, we'll see. They caught the Vikings in a unique situation there. But, you know, the Bears are not a team that should be thinking trade right now. They've got to be thinking draft, and they've got to think selective free agency. Muhammad Wilkerson, 3 years ago, was the best five technique in football. And what was interesting about it was Sheldon Richardson may have been the second best. Leonard Williams was drafted to be the next best. And the Jets had this embarrassment of riches. Sheldon Richardson was a problem off the field. Wilkerson isn't. He's a good kid. And so the Jets elected to pay him and move on from Richardson. The problem is that coming off, until Calais Campbell this year, I think that Wilkerson in 15 may have had the best year of five technique has ever had. He was that dominant. He then got paid, and he's kind of disappeared. And that's why he's on the market right now. Now he's going to get paid again. He didn't even get paid like he did last time, but he's going to get paid. Is he going to show up for you? You know, now different players react differently. And interestingly enough, it comes full circle to Kyle Fuller. I think one of the biggest concerns that people have with Fuller is, you know, he had this incredible year when he had to. What happens when he gets paid? So I think the difference with Wilkerson is we've seen it once now. My suspicion is that because this is a different situation, whatever he gets will be less than last time. I expect him to be the player or closer to the player that he was a couple years ago. If you were to bookend Eddie Goldman with Muhammad Wilkerson and Akeem Hicks, and then you could continue to send Roy Roberts and Harris off the bench, and I'd still bring back Mitch Unrein, you might have the best 30 front in the NFL. So, yes, I think it would be very intriguing for the Bears. I suspect the Packers are going to do everything they can to not let him out of town, but I think it would be an interesting move.
Yeah, unfortunately for Bears fans, the Packers, I'm sure, with Mike Daniels and ascending Kenny Clark, are thinking the same thing, and they have a bit of an edge there with Mike Pettine, obviously, and the relationship that that Wilkerson and he built in their first 2 years with the Jets. But something to keep tabs on for sure. And just this whole idea, Hub, that with the Bears' concerns on the edges, especially after cutting both Pernell McPhee and Willie Young, we don't know what Leonard Floyd is yet. He's exciting. You know, he's a top 10 pick with maybe top 10 talent, but big-time durability concerns. So I just I think that Ryan Pace is playing with fire a little bit here with his edge group and his pass rush overall, and I can't skate the feeling that maybe a motivated Mo Wilkerson kind of offsets that a little bit from the five-tech spot if they can make it happen.
Yeah, I think it's a good signing, and especially if it's not a cap altering type signing.
Right.
And so would love to see him take a whack at it. You know, I think the thing that is the most fun about this time of the year is how quickly things are moving and sometimes changing and trying to keep up with it all. And actually, we're visiting midday on Thursday. I'm not sure when people are listening to this podcast, but I had some meetings this morning with some people, which kind of changed my view on some of the things that the Bears are looking at. I think what Bears fans need to understand is that while there is absolutely going to be a honeymoon period for Matt Nagy and his new coaching staff, the honeymoon's over for Ryan Pace. And so you've got this very strange dynamic. And let me say it again. I tend to qualify this a lot, but I just want to be clear with people my thoughts on it. I'm still a Ryan Pace fan. I don't have an issue with most of what he's done so far. I think he inherited a bigger mess than people realize. But that said, when I say the honeymoon is over, you got a situation where the coaches don't need to win 8, 9, 10 games this year, but Pace does to keep the Wolves away from the door. And so I think that there's a realization. There was a kind of a controversial moment with Matt Nagy. He did an interview, a round of interviews when he took over the job, and I believe it was at 670 The Score with Dan Bernstein, Jason Goff, and he was asked the question, is it fair to expect the Bears to compete for a playoff spot this year? And the answer he gave was, well, no, I think it's too soon. And that didn't play well because, you know, coming off last year, there was a perception that in the right situation, they've added some pieces, you know, they're getting better. But now we've seen, you know, you release these veteran pass rushers. And yes, they had to. You know, I don't think there's any question about that. But at least
Josh, that he thought that that was a strength of the football team, you know, in terms of, dealing with the interior of the offensive line. Now they've got a need there. The reality is that the Bears have got a lot of significant needs, okay? And so I think what they're going to do is the mid-range needs that they have, they're going to approach those in free agency. But the very significant needs on the interior of the offensive line, edge rusher, I think they're going to be looking really more in the draft for that than free agency. So it won't be long. By next week, we'll have an idea of how that's playing out. But I suspect that's kind of the strategy you're going to see coming.
All right, interesting stuff, Hub. I know you got another call to get to, so I'm going to let you off of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. But just a heads up for you and our listeners, once again, I'll reiterate for them, we're going to do some quick hitting, some reactionary podcasts, probably not as long as the normal ones, but just very fast that allow us to break down these big signings and or trades as they happen next week. So I just signed you up for it officially. I hope that's okay, but... That's going to do it for this Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. And Bears fans, enjoy. It's kind of like Christmas morning, as I said at the top of the show with Bob Laguerre. Let's hope that Ryan Pace can get it right on the pro personnel side this time and set things up ideally for the draft and see where this thing goes. You're not going to want to miss any of the action at ProFootballWeekly.com. So we'd appreciate you checking that out. We appreciate you for listening to the podcast here today. And we'll look forward to reacting to all the big Bears and NFL news right here in this very spot next week on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. Thanks a lot.